Ellie is a tremendous little gal, and she will talk your ear completely off. She wakes up talking, talks all day, and goes to bed talking. And she is quite the little soccer player. They had to pull her off the field yesterday after she scored 6 goals. And, you know, 6 goals in soccer, pretty impressive. And she even steals the ball from her teammates and scores with it. And so, because she asked her mom, well, what'd I do? And her mom said, you see that goal down there? You put the ball in that goal. And, buddy, she's taking that thing to heart. And if her teammate's not fast enough, she just takes it from them and zooms on down. So I'm excited about her future. Amen. And I've never been a soccer fan. I always thought that soccer was for people that wasn't, you know, man enough to play football. And so, you know, but I'm watching my grandkids play it, and pretty exciting about it. And it's a little slow, comparatively speaking, but I'm learning to enjoy it, and I think it's kind of neat. But little eyes are watching you. You know, those grandkids and those kids are watching you. Here's a thought today. Most children will never rise above their parents' faith. We owe it to them. What you and I do in moderation, the next generation will do in excess. Boy, we see that played out in our culture today, don't we? The battle, I really struggle with what to preach today. I thought about preaching a message dealing with the sanctity of life. And I've been working on one for a while, but the events of the last couple weeks really kind of brought that to the forefront. Abortion is murder. It's not a woman's body, it's a child's body. And our world today has been duped in so many ways. You pray for the women in our culture. There's an attack on womanhood and motherhood in our culture like never before. And this whole abortion battle is a battle. 53 million lives have been taken since 1973 just in America. You know, we're one of the few civilized countries in the world that even allows it. That's another sermon. But be careful. Little eyes are watching you. They watch you here in the service. They watch you in the car after the service. You don't know how to be a bad parent? Can I give you guys some pointers? Wait to discipline your child until you're really angry. That way you'll holler at them and they'll understand the spirit of hostility and anger. By the way, these are not good parenting advice, all right? If they've ever done wrong, never let them forget it. Keep rubbing it in. That way they'll loathe you later on. Give your child all the spending money he wants. Don't make him earn it. Money in large quantities is an acceptable substitute for love. After a while, he'll only want your money and couldn't care less about you. Compare your child with someone else to make them smarten up. Use this beautiful expression. Why can't you be like Johnny? In the end, he'll despise you and Johnny. Mother and father should disagree in regard to the rules for their youngsters. This helps their children learn how to play one parent off of another. Never let your kids think for themselves. They don't have the equipment. The reason may be because of their heredity or their environment. Some of you will get that later on. Make all the decisions for them so they'll be able to handle life. It sounds like to me that we've got about two generations that were raised under these parenting rules. It's time to break the mold. It's the time to go back to the Word of God. The Apostle Paul is writing to Titus. Titus is one of the young men that the Apostle has been training to serve in the ministry. One of the things that you do whenever you're serving in the ministry is you try to help families be what they ought to be. How do moms take into account that little eyes are watching them? How do moms live out the role that God has given them? I'll say this at the end of the message, but it's worth putting it here. So many times the wives are trying to make a good husband that they've missed out on being a good wife. So many times the husband is so busy trying to make a good wife that they miss out on being a good husband. If I could give you one word of advice, it would be this: learn your role, live your role, love your role. There's a reason for it. God has developed it. Nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean that the husband is superior to the wife. In most cases, the wives are far smarter than the husbands are. But God has given us some roles, and we must fill those. Verse number 1 of chapter 2, the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse number 1. The apostle is writing to this young minister, this young pastor, and he says, "But speak thou of things which become sound doctrine." By the way, that's good advice for all of us. And then he says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. I used to think that I would never reach that point, but I think that I'm an aged man now. It says the aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors, becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, verse number 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. I put in the margin of my Bible right beside that, note the order. When we get that order out of balance, we run into all kinds of problems. He says, teach them to love their husbands first, love their children after that. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Oh, wow. Wow. There you go, Terry. It's right there. That the Word of God be not blasphemed. Don't worry. Father's Day is coming up in a couple of weeks. Okay? Some of the moms are thinking, oh, what is preacher going to say? Don't worry. We're going to help the husbands be good husbands today and on Father's Day. Today I'm going to communicate with the mothers a little bit. How are you going to be the kind of godly mom that God wants you to be? Number one, you've got to develop a way to communicate truth to your children and your grandchildren. In verse 1, the Bible says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." The teaching of the Word of God is crucial in a child's developmental process. Everything in our world today is changing right before our eyes. There is no truth. It is whatever you think is truth. If you wake up one day and think, "I want to identify as a woman." If you're a man, apparently, it's okay in our culture today. It's a little odd. It's a little weird. And it's completely wrong. But somewhere along the line, we have taught people that whatever you want to do is okay. We've got to come back to this. The Word of God is the Word of God, and it doesn't change with our ideas or our opinions. It is truth. The greatest thing, moms, that you can pass down to your children, to your grandchildren, is a love of the Word of God. We have got to get to the place where we fall in love with the Bible again. It's different than what we read on Facebook. It's different than what we're reading in the news. It's the Word of God, and we've got to fall back in love with it again. And we've got to teach our children and our grandchildren that reading the Bible is the single greatest thing they can do in their lives. Because it's God's love letter to them, to us. It is important that we communicate truth. The purpose of the Word of God, here, hold your finger right here. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, about verse number 15. For me, it's right across the page, on the left-hand side. 2 Timothy is right before Titus. 2 Timothy, this is the purpose of the Word of God. What is the purpose of the Word of God? Verse number 15 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. The Bible says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." I am so grateful for parents and for grandparents that desire to teach their children from a young age the Word of God. We have Sunday school classes for young people. We have, even in our nursery, the ladies deal with the Word of God in there, and they teach the children some songs and some of those things. Why? Because it's important that we communicate this truth. The purpose of the Word of God, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And in verse number 16, here's the crux of it. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The phrase inspiration of God means God breathed. It contains God's Spirit. All Scripture is inspired of God. Whenever you read this book, you realize that it's not like Plato. It's not like some of the others of time past. It is the Word of God. And it's God's very breath. And notice what it is good for. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Four things the Word of God will do. Let me break that down into simple terms for you, all right? It is profitable for doctrine. That is what is right. The Word of God will define what is right. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. It'll tell you what is not right. The Word of God will demonstrate, it'll declare what is right, but it'll also declare what is not right. And I love this part about the Word of God for correction. That means how to get right. Whenever you and I fall into the category of what is not right, when we begin to disobey God, we begin to break away from the Word of God, our hearts begin to grow cold, and we read the Bible, guess what? He teaches us how to get right. You don't have to stay wandering around in the wilderness. Remember this truth? It doesn't matter how far you walk away from God, you're only one step to coming back. He says, the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, what is right, for reproof, what is not right, for correction, how to get right, and for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right, that the man of God may be perfect. The word perfect there means mature, complete, thoroughly furnished. The word thoroughly there means from the inside out. It's not by works of righteousness. It's by the power of the Spirit of God that we change and we are conformed to the image of Jesus. Moms, teach your children to love the Word of God. Communicate truth. Number two, as moms, there's got to be a connection of example. A connection of example. Go back with me to Titus chapter 2. Verse number 1 again. He says, "But speak thou of things which become sound doctrine. And then in verse number 3, he says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, is becoming holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Look at it in verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. How many of you have ever traced something with a pen or a pencil in order to get a design? How many have ever done that before? That's what this is talking about. The pattern. You take the pattern and you follow that pattern. You ladies that sew, you get, I remember my mom used to do this. Tina sews and has sewn off and on through the years. But you get those little patterns on those little thin pieces of paper and you connect the cloth to it, you cut the cloth, you cut around it, and you develop that. I so enjoyed being a 6th, 7th, and 8th grader when my mom got into her sewing stage. You never know, you've never known humiliation until you have got to wear shirts that your mom has designed for you as an 8th grader. And she says, oh, those will look so nice with a pair of velour pants. How many of you don't know what velour pants are? Some of the young people are probably like, oh, I have no idea. Praise God. It's like, oh, I dreaded whenever my mom would come back with cloth and she'd say, I've got an idea for a new shirt for you. Oh, you know what that meant? Here's what that meant. Jeff was going to get beat up at school. By the way, that's what used to happen in the day. You know what? There are a lot of people in our culture today, you can just tell this, they've never been beat up. There are no repercussions. Say all kinds of stuff over Facebook. Hey, back in the day, if somebody said that to you, what you did is you took a roll of quarters and put it in your hand, and somebody got a beat down. I don't know why I got about, oh, I know, because my mom in those shirts. Oh, my goodness. Pattern, all right? Thank goodness I broke out of some of those patterns, and I'm so glad whenever my mom's sewing machine broke. I'm not saying that I broke it. I'm just saying I was glad that it broke. In all things, though, showing thyself a pattern of good works, ladies, little eyes are watching you, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Notice verse number 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. If you've ever raised teenagers, you understand what contrary part is. The little girl on the screen was perfect. I don't know why I'm angry, but it feels good to shout. And I tell you what, I got an idea a lot of teenagers identify with that. They don't know what's going on in their life. Their bodies are changing, their mind is changing, everything's changing. You know what they need? They need a mom that's connected with them. There will come a day when your children will follow your example and not your advice as they grow. When they grow older, they'll follow your example, not your advice. A pound of example is worth a ton of cure. Realize this. I said this at the very beginning. Most children will not rise above their parents' faith. The requirements that we have as examples, that ladies have as examples, are very high. You cannot teach it without practicing it. You cannot teach your children to read the Bible if they don't see you reading the Bible. You can't teach your children to pray if they don't see you pray. You can't teach your children to be faithful to church unless you're faithful to church. You can't teach your children to tithe off their birthday gift if they don't see you tithing. You give it. We have to be examples in that. There's so much that I could go into today. The story is told of a TV repair man. Now, this is old. Some of you guys, once again, I'll ask you, how many of you remember the old TV antennas that we mounted on our houses or we mounted on a pole? All right, okay, all right, good. All right. So then this example may work for some of you. Some of you are like, what's an antenna? He didn't like to think about his job when he came home, this TV repairman. As a result, he never bothered to properly install the TV antenna on the top of his house or fix it when one arm of it was broken in a windstorm. One day, a new family moved in next door, and the owner went up on his roof to install an antenna. Knowing that his neighbor was a TV repairman, he put his up exactly the same way and turned it to face in the same direction as his neighbor's. Then, after studying and looking at his neighbor's antenna for a while, he reached up and broke one arm of his off. You say, well, that's silly. Your neighbors know if you're a Christian or not. Your children are observing you. As disciples, we teach by example whether we intend to or not. You cannot teach your children to stay away from alcohol if you have alcohol in your refrigerator. See, it's somewhat acceptable today in many churches for Christians to drink wine and to drink alcohol. I'm going to tell you something. Not only does the Bible condemn that, but I could give you example after example after example after example after example after example of lives that have been destroyed by alcohol. There is nothing good that can come out of it unless you pour it into a wound. It's quiet. I must have hit on a nerve. Your example. I remember my dad. Now, my dad was unsaved. By the way, my dad was the first person to walk the aisle and get saved at the first church that I pastored. But I was 30 years old. And he was 55. I can remember my dad telling me and my brother that if he caught us drinking, that he would whoop us. And he said that with a beer in his hand. And I remember thinking, hypocrite. But I didn't dare say that. But you know what Jeff did as a teenager? He followed his example and not his advice. And it got me into trouble more than once. There needs to be a connection of example. Number three today, I look at it in this passage, just talk about the commitment of a mom. Commitment. Verse number 4. It says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. I've read this, that the dad is the head of the home and the mom is the heart of the home. Well, that's truth. There's a commitment to be sober. The word sober here is not necessarily dealing with avoiding strong drink or alcohol. But it's one that fears God. Silly, not silly, not immature. The Bible says, if we're not careful, we'll focus on the things that are passing, not eternity. Beauty is vain, the Bible says. Avoid strong drink. The Bible says wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of the eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. I want to tell you, Christians, you stay away from alcohol. Just stay away from it. Don't serve it. Don't buy it. Don't have it in your home. Don't drink it. Notice what the aged women are to teach the young wives, young mothers. It says in verse number 4, to be sober, to love their husbands. By the way, single moms are heroes. I don't care how a single mom got to that place. Sometimes it was bad decisions. But you know what? They're there. And here's what a single mom needs to do. She needs to find a godly role model, a godly male role model for her children to get to know. And you know what? God will bless that. But one of the commitments of a mother is this, a commitment to love their husband. To love their husband. Love him foremost. The in-laws that stick their nose into the young married couple's life should be told to mind their own business. Oh, I've wanted to help Tim and Amber so many times. So many times. And often I have not. But on occasion I have. And I can see that look in their eyes. You know what I think? I just crossed the line. I shouldn't have done that. Remember this. Those of you that have children that are married or at that age, unsolicited advice is usually veiled criticism. Be careful. Be careful. But wives, love your husbands. Love him before children, and love him before grandchildren. Love him. Love him practically. The Bible talks about being keepers of home. Can I take another side trip right here? I put in here, special note. You ready? The instruction that the Bible gives for husbands and wives and keeping the home and all of that, it was designed for the husband's income to be enough to support the family's lifestyle alone. Now, husbands, men, if your income is not sufficient to support y'all's lifestyle, you have a couple choices to make. One, scale down your lifestyle so that your wife can stay at home and take care of the home and the children. Number two, you can force her into the workplace where she gets a job and she works. And you say, well, that's kind of where we're at. Awesome. There's really nothing wrong with that except for this. Don't expect for your wife to work just as many hours as you do and then come home and expect her to do all of the cooking, all of the cleaning, all of the taking care of the children. I'm meddling a little bit. I didn't do this by example. Don't say anything, Tina. We're okay. I love you. All right? But I've learned, and I'm going to tell you something. It would have made my marriage a billion times better. Whenever you read these things in the Word of God, it was designed for the wife to be able to stay at home because the husband made enough money. That's rather difficult in our culture today, but it's not impossible. The majority of you women, the majority of wives work outside of the home. Husbands, if that happens, then you help take care of things inside the home. And all the ladies said, come on. You cowards, all right? And all of the ladies said, There you go. Much better. All right? You hear that, men? You say, well, I don't like that. Who cares? Downsize. Change your lifestyle so she can stay at home and take care of all that. I'm going to tell you, a lot of the wives would love to be able to do that. But you help out. You help wash the dishes. In fact, after the kids get to be about 7 or 8, they ought to be washing the dishes. Teenagers ought to wash their own clothes. They ought to learn how to mow the grass. They ought to do all that. Okay? Yeah, some of you guys are like, what? What? Preacher, now, preacher, I was really for you a moment ago, but now. I'm going to say one more thing, and then I'm going to move on off of this. It is lazy, it is sorry, it is ungodly for the husband to come home and expect his wife to work just as hard as he has to do all of the cleaning, all of the laundry, all the dishes, and get the kids ready for bed. I'm going to stop there with that, okay? But it is. Men, do your part. Do your part. You can work out something with your children. You need to train them. Because the next thing is a commitment not only to love your husband, a commitment to love your children. But note the order. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I think we're living in perilous times. Because here's these truths. For men shall be lovers of their own self. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Love your children. Remember, what's the greatest thing you can do for your child? You can train them to love the Word of God. Recognize that our children are an heritage from God. The word heritage means an inheritance. It carries with it an estate that is passed down one from another. My children are a gift from God. You say, but you don't know my children. That's all right. They still are a gift from God. Train them. Help them to have hope. This is probably more important in 2022 than it was in 2010. Help our children to have hope. We see teenage suicide on the rise today at an unbelievable rate. Teach our children to have hope. Teach them that God loves them, that they're valuable to God. Love them. Listen to them. Pray for them and with them. And when need be, spank them. Children are like canoes. Better if paddled in the rear. The best way to stop criminals is quit raising them. A lady looked at George Washington's mother one day and noted what a fine man he turned out to be. What is your secret? The lady asked. I taught him to mind, was the reply. Teach your children to obey right away. First time. Because there's going to come a point where they're going to need to listen and obey the first time a command is given. By the way, you're training them to follow God. You want your children, we want our children to obey God the first time He speaks to them. And all God's people said, amen. I would much rather watch my children obey God the first time than have to go through chastening and chastisement. Instruct them. And we see in here a wife, a mother, should have a commitment to love their home. Our home. I read this one time and it kind of struck me. Part of the quote was this: a house is a good place to put your home. Most of us in this room have moved multiple times. It's just a house. Let's make it a home. Teach your children to love your home. Keep it up. It ought to be a place of goodness and mercy. It ought to be a place of hospitality. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior becometh holiness, not false accusers. I think that has a lot to do with in-laws. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. By the way, grandmas, you know how you teach the next generation to love their husbands? You love your husband. Remember, they'll follow your example much more than they'll follow your advice. You're teaching them to be discreet. Boy, with Facebook and Instagram and all the rest, I've learned so much about families that I didn't want to know. Be discreet. Chaste. Teach your children. There's nothing wrong with them for them to be virgins when they get married. They don't need to experiment sexually to be okay with the crowd. Teach them that it's okay to be pure. Chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Remember, it's a team. And if both of you guys have the same goal, which is God, it'd be amazing what God can do with a home. Last thought today is this. Either you're training your children or the world is training them. The number one thing that you can train your children is this, to love the Word of God. And out of that will flow this, salvation. At a young age. Ellie's young. You heard her sing this morning. Not just because she's my grandchild, but I think she's pretty smart. She's way smarter than I was at that age, that's for sure. But recently, Ellie decided that she wanted to trust Jesus as her Savior. Now, she's young, but I know this. She's at that point in her life right now because someone, not just her parents, but those others that are involved here, you know what they're doing? They're training that little one to love the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. In a world that we live in, if we train our young people how to love the Word of God, it'd be amazing what a difference it'll make in their lives. But I can't train them to do something that I'm not doing. Am I in love with the Word of God, or is my heart grown a little cold? It's easy for it to happen. But it's what Sundays are for. It's a time of renewal and refreshment. Maybe somebody here today, you need to come and trust Jesus as your Savior. Maybe as a Christian today, you need to come and ask God, I renew my passion today for you. Maybe as a husband and wife, you guys need to just pray together and say, Lord, help us to have the kind of home that we ought to be. We ought to have. There's two or three young couples in here. You guys aren't married, but you're dating and all that. Maybe it'd be a good time for you guys to pray together and say, we want God to be the center of our future home, of our relationship. I promise you, when you put God first, He'll do amazing things in your life. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.